PFT Media.
Old sound card.
Time to be kings. We're the princesses of the
universe. Here we belong. Fighting to survive
in a war with the darkest power.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Half True History, the show where we embrace legends, dissect them, and create a few as we talk about world history here. I am your host, Professor Dan P. Over here, producing, of course, super producer, Chris Crespo.
What up?
Oh. That was the wrong button.
Oh. And, of course, the bucephalus to my Alexander, Pedro Lima.
I don't like those big words. I don't know what you said. I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment. But hi, everybody.
Hey, doing well today, huh?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's good. It's good. I feel loose. I'm limber. I just finished my salad.
You're all salad up now?
Good.
Great.
I'm good. How's everybody doing? You good, Chris?
Muy bueno.
Muy bueno. Good. Good. Brushing up on that Spanish.
Uh-huh.
Claro.
See,
claro.
Anything fun while we were away?
Fun? No, probably not. No, not to my knowledge.
No, you didn't do anything?
No, just teaching still.
Didn't catch that XFL?
Oh, God, no.
No?
I did not.
Chris, but you don't watch sports.
I do watch sports.
You do?
I watch Mets baseball.
Okay. All right, we can call that a sport.
Yeah.
I'm a Mets fan, so I know that sometimes it's out.
Hey,
it's there.
It's hard. Yeah. Most years it's hard. I like soccer. Orlando City.
Oh, mm-hmm. Word? Mm-hmm. Are you going to go to a game this year?
To a game? I would like to.
You should come. Come
I
with
should,
me.
Yeah,
come
sure,
with me.
Yeah,
all right, I'll get you tickets.
Okay.
Nice. I'll put an APB out. See all if right. I can get tickets out. But the guy that sits in front of me, he's a military guy.
Uh-huh.
So he puts out, he asks for the military tickets.
Nice.
They give him a bunch, and then he calls me. He goes, hey, I got 4 tickets. I got 6 tickets. I go, I'm like, right. And then I started hitting up people. I didn't think you liked sports. Why? Now that I know.
Why not? I grew up playing baseball, basketball.
Something about you just tells me you don't like sports. You're more of a book and film kind of guy.
I can like sports as well.
I didn't know. Because I don't think. Have you ever reviewed a sports movie? What's your favorite sports movie?
Of course I've reviewed sports movies.
What's your favorite sports movie?
My favorite sports movie is
Rollerball.
No. Rollerball.
No, yeah. A fake sport.
Which one?
Maybe.
The one with.
Don't you even mention the remake in my presentation.
Okay, good.
How dare you, sir?
You didn't like LL Cool J and the guy from American Pie?
How dare you? I mean, technically Rocky is one of my favorite movies,
right.
But I legit do love baseball, so I'm a big fan of Major League.
Mm-hmm.
And then just cause of the time period growing up, I love the Sandlot, Little Big League, Little Giants, all those Rookie of the Year. All
there's not that many up. International sports movies out there. Other
Million
than
Dollar Arm.
There was that FIFA
Kung
movie.
The Kung Fu Soccer.
Shaolin
Soccer.
Cool Runnings is an international movie, right?
Cool Runnings.
Jamaica's a different
that's
country.
Disney. No, I'm just saying.
It took place in Canada.
I was waiting for Crespo to be like, this is a great movie from Pakistan.
Right.
It's about cricket.
I'm sure there is one.
Yeah.
There has to be a good cricket movie.
Yeah.
Especially in India or somewhere. I can't think of an international sports movie.
Right?
So it would have to be something
that's Bend It Like Beckham.
Green Street Hooligans.
Mm-hmm.
that's more about hooliganism, though.
Right,
than,
for the
than
most
the actual sport.
I got hooked watching Goal, the movie Goal.
What's that? Obviously,
it's,
hockey, right?
It's, or? No.
No, soccer.
Soccer.
No,
it's
okay.
Soccer.
Footy.
This guy from LA, Newcastle United, picks him up to mm-hmm. trial for the team. So you see him learn from that. It's, mm. it's you know. It's that same formula on every single sports movie.
Necessary Roughness.
Okay.
With Sinbad.
Yeah.
Sinbad. Sinbad.
Kathy Brinkley as the kicker.
No, yes. Kathy Ireland.
Kathy Ireland.
Kathy Ireland, right. That was it.
Yeah. Damn, so hot. They're so hot.
Yeah.
They still hold up, though.
They do.
Some of those, yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you seen Cindy Crawford? She's like 60-something. She's still good.
See, look at them. Yeah.
And she's like, Miss, like, I have no work done to me whatsoever. Like, no, nothing.
Proud. Proud of it.
Proud, all natural
right.
lady.
Nothing but Preparation H for my bags. I learned
that. That works great, man. But under your eyes.
Yep. I remember that from House of Styles, MTV House of Styles. Yes. When she was the host, she goes, for my bags, I put Preparation H. And I was like, yo, I am going to try that. That's all it's you need. Scary, bro. Because yeah. Like, that fumes hit your eyeball. But anyway, this is not a House of Styles show. This is an educational show.
I almost
show.
Wish it was, though, show. Now. I was about to write down all these facts.
We'll have to talk about
all these
that
tips.
Later,
yeah. Fashion tips.
I got fashion tips on the Lima Criteria. Cross promotion.
Oh, there we go.
Hey! Tune in next week.
What we got, Dan?
So we're going to talk about history in general.
Oh, okay.
The number one thing everyone talks about history, the most common phrase is what?
It's
if you don't know your history...
You're bound to repeat it.
Write it all over again.
Exactly. History repeats itself. Oh, you're bound to repeat it. Right. This is the constant thing there. And if you look on it from the outside,
okay,
it does have a familiar ring to it a lot of the times.
Okay.
But once you get inside of it, you start to realize is the tune might be familiar, but the songs are always very different.
Uh-huh.
So it would be like if you listen to a genre of music that you had never heard before, all the songs kind of sound the same.
I got this.
Yeah.
It's Under Pressure.
Uh-huh.
With Queen.
Right.
And then you got Vanilla Ice.
Mm-hmm.
Where his beat goes, dun 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 dun, instead of dun 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 dun.
Right.
Completely different.
His is different.
Completely different.
And this is actual... room documents.
Right.
Where he actually said, no, my beat goes dun 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 dun, dun.
Yep. He tried.
He tried. God bless him.
And so, yeah, that's kind of like how history is, too. A lot of people like to say that history repeats itself. It's an easy way to do it. But when you look at all the factors that go into each historical event,
okay,
you realize that there's a lot of things behind the works that make the tune sound similar. But again, it's so... different in its working here.
Okay.
So that way, you know, that's one of the things we think of. So we can't really predict the future with history because we don't know what all those factors are going to be to produce that result.
But we can learn from it and be like, well, this is what caused it. And when you did this, this is what happened.
Absolutely.
Kind of deal.
Absolutely. You can figure out what you don't want to get into, what situation you don't want to get into, so you try to avoid it, right? But then again, you have no idea about any of the other economic, social, and political factors that are happening that might steer you towards that direction no matter what.
I want to throw this in there. Would Napoleon Bonaparte trying to conquer Europe be similar to what Hitler was trying to do?
That's the one we're actually going to talk about.
See?
Because that's the most famous.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the most famous there. So, well, yeah, let's talk about the eternal wastelands of Russia, if you will.
Okay.
Oh,
yes.
Should I have that?
If you want to cue up the our Russian music here as we get to the most common phrase, don't invade Russia.
Don't.
Never.
There's that thing on Netflix.
Song of the Volga Boatman.
Is this Nikolai Volkov?
It's the Red Army Choir, yeah. Pretty close.
This is Soda Popinski intro. Man, I forgot what I was going to say. This guy really creeped me the hell out.
So yeah, we were talking about, yeah, Russia. You don't invade Russia.
Yes. Netflix has the show Don't F with Cats.
Uh-huh.
Don't invade Russia.
Don't invade Russia.
Same show. Practice the same thing.
So, yeah, a few things about that.
Okay.
We talked about early on. Napoleon's actually one of the only examples of that, though. Russia had been conquered several times before that.
Okay.
The Mongols owned it for 200 years.
But the Mongols were from Russia, right?
They were from Mongolia, from the eastern side.
Of Russia?
I mean, today, no, Mongolia is a different country.
Different?
Today,
okay.
But it's, you know, they're where Siberia would be.
Okay, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
A little bit farther south. So they it's not eternal winter in Mongolia. Okay. There's deserts and such. But they were able to conquer the Russians in 1300, and they control them until about 1500 or so. Yep. That had been done before. The Byzantine army had invaded Russia and burnt down Kiev at one point.
Ooh.
So it wasn't impossible.
Okay.
But Napoleon's epic failure, I guess, is for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. probably cemented in everyone's ideas. And then when Hitler fails again, that's where we start to get this myth that Russia is this impenetrable fortress of cold.
Okay.
So, but really, if you look at it, two, maybe four times in history, someone tried to invade Russia and it was a complete disaster. And sometimes, and it wasn't always the winter that was the complete disaster. It was just total different factors altogether. Alexander Nevsky defending an invasion from the Teutons back in the 1200s.
The who?
Teutonic Knights.
The Teutons?
The Teutons, Teutonic Knights. Teutons, okay. Yeah.
The Grand Teutons.
Right, the Grand Teutons. Okay. Right? You saw the old Soviet film, right? You know yeah. how that is. Exactly. So, you know, and that was just military strategy. That had nothing to do with the winter. So, it was...
That's a dope-ass name, the Teutonic Knights.
Teutonic Knights, yeah. Big old German dudes. Kind of the look that Hitler was going for as far as big old scary Germans.
The prototypical scary German.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right.
So we talk about Hitler as well. Now, Hitler definitely makes this mistake. Okay, this is Hitler's mistake to have.
Holy shit, this guy has horns.
Oh, yeah, you're looking about the Teutonic Knights? Yeah.
Yo, yeah, this is the scary shit. Hell yeah. And the guy could just look like a baker and stuff like that, but once you got that helmet and, yo, look at this thing. That's...
Right, you look like a villain from
every medieval
video game.
Like the Black Knight from Monty Python.
Python, yeah.
The Knights of Knee, right?
Yeah. Got that look. So, yeah, those scary guys. And Alexander Nevsky was able to defeat them. The Battle on the Ice, as it was in the 1200s. So, you know, Russia had defended before, but it wasn't that what Russia was this impossible wasteland. Mm-hmm. And so Napoleon is not walking into something that is well known.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's not like he's ignoring...
He's not ignoring history. History has shown the Russians can be beaten.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In fact, the Russians were beaten. So this is another thing. He's not invading Russia. Russia already surrendered to Napoleon's empire.
Okay.
It's already part of the empire. Okay. Or part of his continental system.
So he's just walking into his place.
It's already pretty much French territory, yeah. as it were. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where it said, well... Don't rule us directly. We'll just be your patsies and do everything that you say. Mm-hmm. So it was part of Napoleon's continental system.
Okay.
All the countries under him and other ones that were tight allies with him. And Russia was one of those tight allies. Mm-hmm. They didn't want a war. They tried to defeat Napoleon with the other European powers, and they failed. It was the Europeans had a group called the Coalition to try and defeat Napoleon. At this point, by where we're talking about Napoleon in 1811, he has just defeated the 6th coalition to go against him.
My goodness.
So, yeah.
Damn.
Exactly. So, it's not like the Russians are known for their fighting abilities or anything like that.
Okay. All right.
So, it's already part of the empire.
Hmm.
Reason he invades is because one of the rules of the continental system was you weren't allowed to trade with Great Britain.
Okay.
Because he's trying to starve them out economically right now. That's the one place
sanctions,
he can't
get. Sanctions on Great Britain.
Right,
and the Russians say...
No sanctions.
Eat this.
Yeah, pretty much. Nyet.
Nyet.
They start trading with Great Britain. And so it was really... Napoleon had to go in there. Because if Daddy didn't spank, then all the other children were going to act up too.
Sure.
Like, you're going in there. Mm-hmm. And the Russians...
Said, nyet.
Yeah, they knew they was coming in. So, so for Napoleon, it wasn't... Again, it wasn't that he needed to conquer it or anything like that. It was basically he had to go in there.
It was like a policing machine.
I can't let the other country see...
Right.
...that these guys just... And they're going to go unscathed.
Mm-hmm. Like, if one of your kids does something, if you don't punish him in front of the other kid, that kid's going to be like, well, I can do that too.
Well, why didn't just Napoleon just go to Britain and just F him up?
Napoleon can't. He doesn't have a navy.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Okay. Britain has screwed up that navy already. So that was the one thing that he can't reach Britain.
Okay.
But he can reach anywhere on land.
And he can stop them from going to Britain.
Exactly.
Except for the Russians.
Except the Russians.
Who's apparently
except
just went around.
They're going across the Baltic Sea. Yeah,
they had a secret port.
Mm-hmm.
They got a boat,
right? So they had a boat, Russian boat.
That's all they
need. I mean, they had
Napoleon's a stupid horse. Just get over here, and they're just rowing.
Yeah, the horse is on the docks. Yeah. Oh, they got us this time.
You know, we need a few of those floaty things on the water. How you say?
How you say?
Boat.
Boot.
Boot. So he goes in there, and the Russians try and fight him off, and they get creamed their first time. So at this point, the Russians, that's when they employ the strategy of scorched earth to defeat Napoleon, where they just basically retreat, and just start burning all the farmland as they go. Mm-hmm. That way, Napoleon can't live off the land. He has to keep his supply lines all the way from France, connected all the way to his army in Russia. So the tactic was that, you know, they weren't really fighting Napoleon. They were just drawing him out. Mm-hmm. He captures St. Petersburg. He captures Moscow. He's successful in every single one of his things. And then the problem is they burn Moscow down when he gets there.
All right.
So the cold's setting in. He doesn't have enough supplies for everyone. And he realizes these Russians are just going to keep retreating. I've already given my example, though. Mm-hmm. He's already burnt Moscow. Mm-hmm. He's already captured St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. In Napoleon's mind, the lesson is learned, and the longer he stays here, the worse it's going to get for his troops.
Sure.
So the retreat really wasn't any type of defeat that Russia put on Napoleon, but it was Napoleon's mistake for probably going a little bit too long into Russia.
Interesting.
To teach his lessons.
Interesting.
So, yeah, and it does. It costs him about a third of his army because of the disease and starvation.
Jeez.
Because of the scorched earth policy.
And then does that contribute to, like, the end of his Napoleonic reign?
Yeah, who gets word to be like, yo, he just lost a third?
The Russians send the word out, and by the time Napoleon gets back...
The word to who? To the British?
To the British.
And then the British start snitching around?
And that's when they get word to the Austrians get word to the Germans, and then when Napoleon gets back with this very tired army, then the 7th Coalition shows up.
That's the lucky one.
Yep.
Lucky number 7.
Yeah, lucky number 7, and then he's defeated for his first time.
Wow.
So, but that's, you know, so that's
Napoleon. He was defeated for the first and last time?
He comes back.
Oh, he comes back.
He comes back.
Napoleon 2.
Yeah.
Napoleon 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, there you go. Searcher Curly's
Gold. He loses the first battle. It's called the Battle of Leipzig.
Okay.
It's in Germany. And then, of course, the second time is the one we're all familiar with, the Battle of Waterloo.
Okay.
So. Waterloo.
Couldn't escape if you wanted to.
So weird.
Right? So then Hitler, all right?
Mm-hmm. Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit, right? he doesn't have to invade Russia. He's not in the same situation as Napoleon.
Yeah.
By 1939, he's made a deal with the Soviet Union. They're sharing a border.
Yeah, weren't him and Stalin like boys?
Yeah, they split Poland together.
Okay.
He had always intended on invading Russia eventually.
Oh, he was going to double heel turn.
No matter what. He hated communists. That was his thing. Because...
Him and Republicans.
Because, surprise, surprise, everybody, socialists are not communists. Socialists are not communists.
I think people need to go back to episode 3 right. or 4 for the communism.
Exactly. And national socialists are definitely not communists.
No.
So, yeah. So he was going to invade them all the time. Mm. It was his always plan, but he wanted to... beat Britain first. Get rid of his Western allies.
Okay.
And that's where it cost him. He got impatient. And he went ahead with the Soviet invasion in 1941 when Britain was still not conquered.
Did he do this at the same time that Dunkirk was happening?
Dunkirk had already happened.
Already happened.
Okay. He already whipped them all. Like, that was the end. There was no way Britain was getting... Dunkirk happened in April of 1940.
Okay.
So this is a year later, in June 1941 now. Now, he's tried to invade England through an aerial battle, the Battle of Britain. Total failure. The British planes actually hold off the greatest air force in the world at the time. It's fantastic. And he's concentrating on North Africa. He's trying to get to the Middle East, take the Middle East from Great Britain because he needs the oil. That's the number one thing. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason you go for the Middle East, is you want the oil.
Mm-hmm. Not the sand.
Wow. History does repeat itself.
Right?
Gotta go for the oil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotta go for that oil.
Crack! Go ahead.
So, rather than pay attention, though, to the Middle Eastern campaign, mm-hmm. some reason, he decides to go ahead with the Russia Operation Barbarossa, as he calls it.
Operation Barbarossa?
Barbarossa.
Wow.
Which is interesting. He names it after this famous German emperor,
mm-hmm.
who is known for being part of the Third Crusade, marching down to the Third Crusade with this huge, large German army.
And losing.
He dies before he even gets there.
Oh.
I don't know if we talked about this guy before.
No, but it sounds very incomplete, but it's a weird thing to name
right.
the operation.
Why would you name it after the guy who didn't make it?
It's like an Operation Urkel. And you're like, why would you name it that? Oh, I'm interested in Urkel.
Or design a new car, Operation Hugo.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. This is going to go great.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is
Operation
the one.
Pinto.
Right? Yeah. Figuring out the gas tanks.
So, yeah, the invasion goes, and he invades in the summer. He doesn't invade in the winter. None of these guys are invading in the winter.
Yeah.
It just takes that long, though, to get in there.
Yeah.
This time, though, the Russians are fighting back. It's not the same as Napoleon's thing. This is an actual Russia trying to fight back. Hitler is defeating them. They are quite successful in the beginning. But it's not just the Russian winter. It's just the fact that Stalin doesn't care about his people.
Don't he's throwing them sniper? At the millions. Don't they have that sniper?
The enemy at the gates?
The sniper.
Ed Harris. Notice that
everything I know is about movies. Right? That's how I know history.
Bob Hoskins as Khrushchev.
Yeah.
Here you have two invasions of Russia that fail. And you know, they sound similar on the outside, but when you look at the details, one didn't have a choice and the other one was extremely careless. Like had other pots going on the oven and decided to still try and make this roast happen. So it's one of those things. It's like, it sounds familiar, the tune, but it's not to say, oh, you can never invade Russia. Like I said, there have been other people who have invaded Russia quite successfully.
And been able to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, so that's one of our examples there. You kind of got to look into little details there.
Let me ask you this. Vietnam and Iraq, similar? Uh-huh.
Vietnam and Iraq do have similar themes to them, yes.
Okay.
Do have similar themes to them. In that both of them, the United States did not learn the culture before they invaded. They didn't understand who they were fighting.
Okay.
Different because Vietnam were invading in the middle of a civil war, so we technically have allies we're backing up, where Iraq is just a full-scale invasion. We're not trying to support a side.
No. We liberated a son.
Yeah, we liberated it. We're not sure who needed to be liberated, but we did.
The Iraqi people need a liberation, Dan.
Which is another thing together. The Iraqi people are three different types of people. It's Sunni Arabs, Shia Arabs, and Sunni Kurds.
Liberated them all.
All of you got your freedom ticket.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I was just fine.
Yeah.
Was fine. No. You're free now. No, but I was
good. Like, no, but now ISIS is here. This is bad.
Well, we have to go now.
No, we got to leave. Sorry.
Yeah. Isolation is the best thing for America right now, so we
got
to go.
We got oceans on both sides of us. We're good.
Mm-hmm. We're good. Too much money.
Is there a movie about Saddam Hussein days before? I feel like there's a movie.
It's one about his kids.
The House of Saddam was a good one on HBO. That was a good series.
Oh, the intro series?
Yeah, House of Saddam was pretty good.
A guard becomes like friends with Saddam.
You're thinking of the Lee Daniels, the butler.
That's what it is.
White House butler.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah. He was friends with Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. They both hung himself.
Right.
Both hated gays.
Yeah.
And we go to another... we're going to travel a little bit further forward in time here. We'll go to another region. Mm-hmm. We talk about another favorite topic when people talk about history.
Okay.
Repeating itself is we like to talk about socialism.
Okay.
And that takes us to South America.
Okay.
Everyone's favorite place for why socialism doesn't work.
Oh, the pan flute. You got pan flute music?
I mean, you know. We got to go down to, of course, our favorite.
Going to Peru?
Venezuela.
Venezuela, okay.
And Harry Belafonte is going to take us there.
Okay.
I met her in Venezuela.
Okay.
Right.
Her being socialism.
Right. So it's the idea that, you know, socialism doesn't work because look at this country, they tried it and they failed. Look at this country and they tried it and they failed.
I'm sorry. I know you guys hear Harry Belafonte, and the first thing people think about is probably that Beetlejuice movie.
Right.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 yeah. foot bunch.
When I think Harry Belafonte, I think about that black and white movie. Not the John Travolta, White Man's Burden. That movie where the white people are the minority kind of thing. That's it, it's I don't know why. And I've never seen the movie, but it's the only thing that
Well, that's the one that pops in your head? Okay.
Yeah. Not Beetlejuice. It should be Beetlejuice.
Should be Jumping the Line or, you know, Deo.
Yeah. Sorry for throwing no, that no, monkey wrench in there. Go ahead.
That's fine. That's fine. And so we look at socialism, why it doesn't work in South America in general. Okay. And that is a good example of history repeating itself.
Okay.
Because not the socialism aspect, but what all these South American countries have in common.
Okay.
Which is none of the elements to make socialism work.
What is needed to make socialism work, in your opinion?
You need a fully industrialized country.
Okay. Oh, that's number
South
one.
America ain't got nothing. Still.
Right. You need a strong middle class. Oof. Like a good size, like that, 30, 40% of your country's got to be middle class.
That doesn't exist in the world.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You need a country with a long tradition of self-government.
Okay.
That has had no complications for the most part in their elections, like easy transitions of power.
We were so close.
Oh, boy.
We were so close to
being. You need at least those three for socialism to even start sprouting any leaves.
We do pretty good on transference of power.
We do.
I mean, because it's really just going from right hand to left hand, but still, it hasn't been a problem yet.
Right. Well, you know, but we have a long tradition of understanding term limits. We have a long tradition of being able to at least transition from one guy to the other.
So if we had a better middle class, then maybe we'd be on our way to being a secure... What was the first thing you said?
Fully industrialized society.
Hey, yeah, we're doing pretty good.
Which we are, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but that middle class thing really hurts.
Right, which, and all three of those things is none of the South American countries.
No.
It's no point in history.
No point in history.
It's crazy.
And they have to be financially independent. That's a fourth one.
Yeesh.
Oh.
Right.
Venezuela.
Like not.
Venezuela has the oil, but they can't. What's the deal? What can't they?
Venezuela has always had the problem, though, of it has always been owing European banks money.
Mm-hmm.
Since their beginning, they all made the mistake of borrowing foreign loans to get their industry started,
because
they tried to industrialize. But then what they didn't realize is that basically the Europeans were the ones who owned all those factories then.
Mm.
And so the money never went into the country, and it just stays eternally poor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always the problem. So when Venezuela did nationalize everything, it was trying to be fully industrialized under itself without national debt.
Sure.
It got the national debt part settled, but no history of self-government as far as easy transitions of power.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at, it's not even still fully industrialized.
Mm.
And the middle class is, what, maybe 10% of Venezuela?
Yeah.
15% of Venezuela? It wasn't going to work.
Because it's like, at best, emerging second world type of thing.
Developing country. They're all developing countries at that point.
Yeah.
And they have always been developing or third world countries for their entire history since they've gotten independence.
It's crazy.
Canada's not socialist.
Canada is not.
But they...
They have socialist aspects.
Okay.
The healthcare. A large majority of their TV is owned by the government.
Okay.
You know, the CBC.
Mm-hmm.
So they have socialist aspects about them. But they have they have private industry, which is a thing that most socialist countries do have, though. They have private industry. So Canada does do a little bit better with socialism. The only problem that Canada has is it's not completely fully industrialized. I mean, it's industrial, but not industrialized.
It's a big country, but
and it's huge.
But 80% of your country is just ice.
Exactly. It's huge with a small population.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, it's one of those mistakes there that we look at. So socialism... With socialism, it's not so much that history is repeating itself because socialism is the bad thing. History is repeating itself because the wrong governments keep taking it over and over again. They all feel that. They all check off the criteria of what you shouldn't have as a government.
And the ones that may be in a position to be able to do that have no interest in doing it.
They don't want to.
Yeah.
They don't want to.
They're happy with their late stage capitalism.
Because they want to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest. And we're going off a little bit of a tangent of what the subject is. But the biggest problem is, the argument is, you know, Germany and Great Britain and all them have adopted socialism stuff. And then, but they're like, but their economy isn't the strongest in the world right now. And that's true.
Okay.
But Pedro, who you think would have more money? Pedro with no family or Pedro with family?
Pedro with no family would have a lot of money.
Because you have
away from that microphone, Pedro?
Wait, I'm sorry.
Goodness gracious.
Because you would have no one to take care of and no one you would have to spend your money on. So, yes.
No dependents.
Right, no dependents.
Correct.
So, correct. Yes, they are not number one, but at the same time, they're taking care of their people. So that's the trade-off.
You got family to take care of you when you're sick.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, what would you rather have? Would you rather be single rich Pedro or would you rather get by with a family?
It's just all these people that are like, oh, I don't want... They got this fear of it, right?
Absolutely.
But they also are the same people that complain about, well, the government doesn't help. It's like...
Right.
It's both ways.
Absolutely.
So it's a, I don't know, man. It's I don't want to go into politics,
right? Right, but
stuff like that. But like you,
it depends which one you prefer.
Correct.
Do you want to be single and rich, or do you want to have a family and get by?
Now, how many cousins does the United States have? They have a lot.
That's a lot of cousins. That's a lot of people in that family picnic. Yeah. You know. So that's the thing.
So that's gonna be kind of hard for them.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be Bubba Burgers and Wolf's Brand Chili. We're not going... This barbecue ain't going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
But everyone's going to have a good time. Everyone's going to eat. So it depends on what you want to do, you know?
But then there's those uppity cousins that want that filet mignon.
Well, they don't like the fact that we're not using Hebrew National hot dogs.
Yes.
It's BYO.
What is this great value shit?
Turkey dogs.
Turkey?
Right.
That's pricey.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
These are like the skinny ass hot dogs.
Yeah, it was nice thin too. So
you haven't seen those Genio, those Genio turkey dogs. Oh no.
Right. So, but yeah, history.
They pay you to take them out of the store.
But all those places of socialism and the reason it fails is because it's the countries themselves. It has nothing to do with the system. It's the people.
But there's some old countries that have. To have it right, and they're working just fine.
Small industrial countries with a history of transference of power.
There's a light and dark side to everything. You know, there's definitely gonna be problems with socialism in history, but there's been problems with capitalism in history.
Yes,
like most of America every 40 years, so it happens. You know, England before it became socialist. I mean, before the government stepped in. The English were putting lead in their cheese to give it color so they could save money.
Wow.
Nice.
How f***ed up was the color? Sorry. How messed up was the color of the cheese?
It was just this kind of pale white because they were using bad, cheap ingredients. So they added a little lead to give it that yellow color.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
hilarious. Oh, you got to eat that good old lead cheese. Got to eat that lead limbo.
Sticks and breaks your ribs.
Oh, boy.
A lot of people use, I don't know, I don't want to jump ahead of you if you're not done with this, but the Roman Empire.
Right.
The fall of the Roman Empire.
Fall of the Roman Empire.
Before the Roman Empire, who fell or who has fallen after the Roman Empire?
Ottoman Empire? That's after, right?
Because
how many empires?
Because that's... history repeat itself. It's like, right. Oh, you're witnessing the fall of the Roman Empire.
Right.
Also, Axiom, one of the first episodes we did.
Axiom was one of the ones we did. Yeah. Axiom Empires. Yeah. No, Alexander's empire fell. Persia fell before then. The Egyptian empires fell before then.
Empire Records.
You know?
Empire Records, yes. Gone.
And
Anthony LaPaglia had to. He bought it at the end, though, but it wasn't the same.
It was the 90s, though. It's gone.
Yeah, and then CDs came, so nobody wanted records. That store probably closed real quick.
Gone.
Oof.
Rest in peace.
But there's another example, though. It depends on how you look at the Roman Empire. There are conservative historians that talk about how once the Roman Empire and the emperors got more involved and more socialist and started giving bread to the people and forgiving debts, that was the reason for their fall. But another example could be back during their Republican pure capitalist days, the Roman Republic, it was always back and forth with the wealthy doing whatever they wanted until Caesar took over. and then Augustus took over. And then you have this period called the Pax Romana, which is 200 years of Roman peace.
Oh, that sounds like a dope hip-hop album.
Right.
Pax Romana.
And that's socialist. Caesar forgave debts. Caesar gave bread to his people. Augustus did the same thing. Free games, free... As long as you were a tax-paying citizen, you got all this free stuff.
And he gets stabbed.
He gets stabbed. But Augustus lives the full life. So, yeah, the Roman Empire does fall, but it falls in 476... Augustus starts this socialist empire in like 27 AD. So, I don't know, 400 years seems like a pretty good run for a country.
Yeah, centuries of prosperity sounds pretty good.
Right, and that's just the empire. You did your capitalist republic thing for 200 years before that. So a 600-year civilization, that's nothing to scoff at.
That's pretty good.
That's nothing to scoff at all.
And respect.
So it all depends where you go. Mm-hmm. Genghis Khan was socialist. Mm-hmm. Napoleon was practically socialist. You know, it's they all have their different aspects there. Mm-hmm. So with history,
all right,
good. There we go. So the moral of the story is history kind of repeats itself. Depends what book you're writing. Depends what
who's writing it.
Right, and depends what point you want to make on Crossfire. Is that even a show? Does
that
exist?
It's been a while since Crossfire. Isn't
it so like that?
Yeah,
Tucker Carlson.
Right. It depends if you're with Bill Maher, you want to argue with Bill Maher.
There you go. Oh, boy.
If you want to be praised by John Oliver or attacked by John Oliver, it all depends on how you want to put your history together.
What you want Hannity to hold your hand?
Mm-hmm. But always remember, there's details. There's different notes in every song. And so just kind of enjoy it from there. We're going to put the wheels down on this one here. Make sure you're following Half True History on Facebook, Half True History on Twitter, and then Half True Histories on Instagram for all of our updates there. And then, of course, if you're listening to it this week, next week you're going to be listening to Pedro's show.
Yep. We alternate on and off the Half True Histories, and then I'll do my stupid thing with Lima Criteria once in a while. Also, check out the brothers at PFT Media on Facebook with the lineup Cinema Crespedisos, Chico's Brain, The Major Scale, Scotch and Good Conversation, Tidbits, The Meat Limit Offcuts, and Simon Time. Right?
I think it's all of them.
Nice.
Boom.
Man, he's good at this.
Top of the dome, son.
Also, shout out to Big Tim. Whenever he wants to do an episode of his show, he's allowed to do it.
Is he still around?
Yeah, baby.
Whenever Big Tim wants to do something.
Yeah, baby. Whenever his truck is running, he feels like doing an episode.
I like that's what I like about Big Tim, consistency.
Yes, there you go.
He's consistently Big Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love him.
All right, so until next time, Pedro Lima and Dan Perella signing off.
Peace.
A PFT Media production.